Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, I thank you for this church body, Lord. I thank you for every person that is here this day. And Lord, you stirred their hearts, Lord. Every one of us has been stirred by you to be here, Lord. Whatever it is that you're wanting to do in our hearts, Lord, whatever it is that you're wanting to do through our worship time, the words that come forth from Pastor Henry today, Lord, may they penetrate our spirit, Lord. We want more of you. We thank you, Lord, for how you draw us each Sunday, Lord. And not only to come to church, Lord, that you draw us, as Pastor's been speaking, into our places of just you and us, Lord, just as individuals, Lord, our personal time with you. I pray, Lord, that that would be stirred as these months continue, Lord, and as Pastor Henry continues to preach on how important that is, that our hearts would be stirred, Lord, that it would not just be words coming forth. We thank you and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, when God gave me the songs for this week, and I know that one of the songs is called I Surrender, but I didn't really realize that all songs would be connected to surrender. And you know, it is a surrender to take God at His word. And it is a surrender to go after Him every single day, regardless of what we see. There's a level of surrender there that happens, right? When things don't match up to what God is telling us or what God is saying, according to what we're seeing physically, it is a surrender to say, okay, regardless, I'm choosing to go after you. Regardless, I'm laying down what I want, what I feel, and I'm surrendering it all to you. It is a surrender in moments like, even in this song, I've got nothing new, but I'm still gonna just lay it down right here. Cause all I have is a hallelujah, but it's what I'm gonna offer. All I have is a praise, but it's what I'm gonna offer. Because God's not looking for you to give Him the most expensive or elaborate things in your life. He's looking for you to surrender it all. Even the things that you're holding on to so tightly, the things that you feel are so important to you. When we choose to surrender it all, even those things, they're extremely powerful moments in our life, because we'll begin to see where there was no breakthrough, there's breakthrough. Where we felt like we were stuck in a rut, we're no longer in a rut. Where we felt like we didn't know where else to go, He makes a way. Because sometimes what gets in the way is our lack of surrender. Our lack of the ability to let go when we should let go. To allow God when we should allow God. To choose to follow Him and go in a path regardless of what other paths are there. True surrender is laying it all down. Every last bit, the things we think we got a handle on, all the way to the things that we're already laying down for God. Because where we get in the way is holding on to things that God's trying to say, just let it go. Just lay it down with all of the other things you're laying down. Lay it fully down. And I feel like this is part for me today too, because when you go through things, human nature's natural reaction is to cling to the things that we want to cling to. Whether that be memories, whether whether that be feeling like it's something we need to keep in order to make us feel better, or sometimes it's even clinging to the hurt that we're already in, right? But God is trying to take you to new things. It's why he says, press forward, not press back. Don't, not looking back at what happened, but looking forward at what God's doing. It's a surrendering of it all. It doesn't matter how hard you think it is, how difficult, it doesn't matter. If you just go to God in all things, you'll begin to see that that surrender is the only thing that can give you what you need. You know, I was talking to Gina this morning and I could feel it the second it came out. We surrender what's comfortable for us to surrender. A lot of times we will surrender what we're okay giving. God, you know, I really need your help with this, so I'm gonna give it because I don't know what to do with it. Or sometimes it's just, you know, I really don't know how to get rid of this thing, so I'm gonna surrender this, but can I just hold on to this? We surrender what we're comfortable surrendering. But we should be surrendering it all. Not just what we're comfortable giving, but all of it. Every last bit of it. And we, when we learn to let go of those things that we're holding on to so tightly, you'll begin to see all those things in the Bible come to life in your life. Because now you're not stuck holding on to something. You're freely giving it all for whatever he has for you. Those are the powerful things in our lives, is when the church learns that it's okay to let go of what we think things should be, the way we want things to be, or the way we think they should be. And we allow God to guide us in every single one of those aspects of our life. Because there is nothing that is withheld from us in the Word. Nothing. He's given it to you as a gift. But we keep it from coming to life in our lives sometimes because we just refuse to fully surrender. And sometimes we won't even notice we do it because we just are holding on to something. We don't realize that God's trying to get us to lay it down. But it's why going after him all the time is so important, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. And as he gives us things and he places things in our lives, that surrender becomes essential to just allowing him to do what he's going to do. To just allowing for him to be the one who directs us in everything. The one who allows us to let go of the things that we're so difficult of, so that we can move forward into new things. The things he wants to give us. So as we go back into this song this morning, I just want to encourage you, surrender it all. Surrender it all. Every last bit. Allow yourself to just worship and offer the gift you have. Because we've been singing this song that, oh, it's been something I've been enjoying all the time. I've just loved it. But it's called Honest Offering. And we've been singing that song because that's the thing, is God, we have perceptions of what we need to offer, but God doesn't. He just wants every last bit of your honest offering, of what it is that you're bringing, that you're giving to him. Those are gifts and he loves them. And he doesn't judge us based on how much or how little compared to the person next to us or any of those things. It's none of that. It's just that honest offering that you bring. That moment with Him, that communion with Him, where you just enjoy the time with your Father. Loving, pressing in, going after Him, wanting to get to know Him, wanting to spend time with Him. Those moments are such powerful gifts in your life. Both you giving and God giving. That's the thing about relationships, right? They're two ways. And as you give those things, God just begins to pour and pour in your life, because He's never the one who leaves. He's never the one who leaves. He's always there, and He's always waiting for us.
As we were singing Surrender, the word came to me, casting all your care upon Him. That is what He is calling us to do. But how can we do that? The scripture that the Lord gave me right now was 1 Peter 5, and it's 6. So I'll read it to you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It's humility that brings us to surrender. We have to humble ourselves, put ourselves down, hang it up, just as Jesus died on the cross and hung on that cross. We have to hang up what we want to do, what we think is good for us, and be humble and come before the King of Kings. And let Him say, and just say to Him as He talks to you, which He's talking to you now. He's saying it's about humility. It's about surrender. So when you do go before Him, humble yourself and pray and give all your burdens to Him. For He is saying, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares about all your needs. And He will fulfill them, because He's a mighty God and He's a faithful God. Amen.
Well, I want to share my story about surrender. Last January, I had never mourned for my husband's passing. It was a very toxic relationship. And although I had changed my life, there's still things missing. I started going to a Bible group, and I started learning about surrender. So the 9th anniversary of his passing, I broke down and mourned for 3 days for him. And then I had a revelation, and the Holy Spirit was telling me it's time to move closer to your kids. I had lived my whole life doting to my husband and his kids. And he made me promise that I would stay in contact with his kids and his grandkids. And I tried. I tried so hard. They weren't very receptive. So in February, I contacted my family and told them I was selling out and I'm moving to Arizona. Be with my kids and my great-grandkids. So I surrendered everything. I got rid of everything. What I couldn't sell, I gave away, especially the people in need, washer, dryer, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, the first thing happens to me, I trip up and I fall. And I got this big old thing on my head, and my face is all black and blue. So we started praying for the devil to stay away from me, because he didn't like what was going on. He wanted me right there on the fence. So I rebuked the devil, started selling things, giving away things, put my house up for sale. Didn't look good in the beginning, but God sent the right person. We made the deal. The next day, I had lots of friends, load my U-Haul. That day, my kids from here flew into Texas. and helped me drive the U-Haul back on with my car. And let me tell you, I tried some other churches here, but they cannot compare to the Holy Spirit that is in this church. It is so awesome. I feel so loved. I just love to get involved. We've been praying for my shoulder for a couple months now. I finally found out I do have 3 tears, and I will have to have a surgery. I'll find out this week the amount of that. But I just want to tell you, surrender is good. Everything is good. I'm going to have 2 new great grandbabies. A week apart is their due dates. So it just keeps getting better and better. Thanks, y'all. Love you.
I just want to share a quick testimony. Earlier, we were singing gratitude, and my testimony is all about gratitude and God's goodness, especially when you're patient and waiting on the Lord. And kind of brings to memory an old song that says, you know, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. But you never stop working. And God finally, after over a year of essentially being jobless, God finally opened the door. And last week, I finally get a call back from Goyita's up here, which is a new Mexican food restaurant by the theater. And this Wednesday at 2 p.m., I am finally having an interview for 2 potential positions. One, a dishwasher, and 2, a line cook. Both are full-time positions. And so I'm not going to say if I get the job. When I get the job, I'll finally have financial stability in my life, and I can't wait for that day. And so, you know, if you have a hard time with waiting on the Lord, I would encourage you, as Rebecca just said, to press into the relationship with God, and you know, just continue to have faith that He will do a work in your life. And I can be a living testimony of that in my life today. And so I just wanted to tell my testimony and give praise and honor to who truly deserves it, which is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your time.
So, you know, I whenever I think about surrender, I think about, you know, we have an example of what that is. And the greatest kind of surrender is sacrifice. And if we look at where our greatest example is, that's Jesus. That's everything, right? I mean, He gave everything. He only did what His Father wanted Him to do. And He gave His life on a cross. And I, you know, my thing of surrender was like when I started here at church, was it actually over 9 years ago? Did this church start almost 10 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was almost 9 years ago. And, the projectors weren't working, and the person that normally run them wasn't here. And, you know, my mom looked over at me, and I didn't want to be here. I'll be honest. I didn't want to be at church. And I was going through a lot. I lost my dad recently from, you know, that time nine years ago. And I was mad at God. But, you know, after my mom looked at me, honor thy mother and father, so go with well with you. First commandment with a promise, to have long life. So after I did that, it changed everything for me, because here I am over 9 years later. And, you know, I've found what my calling is, right? And that's only because I surrendered. But let me just encourage you, if you haven't surrendered everything for God, do it, because you have no idea what's waiting for you. It's not something where God's just going to be like, okay, now you're my indentured servant now, and I'm just going to make things miserable for you. No, it's amazing. And you have no idea what it is until you walk in it. So let me encourage you. Just give it all to God. Yeah. Everything, every moment.
Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you, Lord. We raise our hands to you, Father. We worship you this morning, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, Father, because, Father, you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor, Father. We honor you this morning, Father. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing, Lord, in our lives today. Father, we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God? Let them know. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. Hey, that's my water. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Try to shake them up a little bit. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. How many of you love to worship God? Amen. I mean, the best thing you can do is worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just in church, but when you go home and when you do things around the house, just worship God. Hey, yes. You know, I was laying under my truck yesterday morning, freezing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was too cold. The guy was helping me. He wanted to start early in the morning. It was cold on that concrete floor. I noticed he wasn't on the concrete floor, but I was on the concrete floor. But I was there. One of those things that just kept coming out of my mouth was this: I want to praise you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Glory to God. I got a busted truck. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say amen? I mean, can you worship God in any situation, no matter what you're going on? Can you do that? Hallelujah. Well, you can. And I really believe that God, when your things are going kind of haywire for you, you just begin to sing out. Some folks ask me, why do you sing that song over and over and over again? What is with that? I'll tell you, sometimes you might bust out with that song walking down the sidewalk, or something happened to you and this song rises up within you. I would say yield to the song. Would you say amen? Let it rise. Let it roll out of your lips. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's called a sacrifice of praise. Can you say amen to that? Amen. How many of you offered a sacrifice of praise lately? That's what it was yesterday on that concrete floor. The sacrifice of praise. Amen? Day and night, night and day, let so arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise all day long. Amen. Can you say amen? Day and night, night and day, all day long, all night long, let incense arise. Sometimes those times where you're not sleeping very well, let incense arise. The Bible says incense is the prayer of the saints. You guys know that, right? Incense, just pray. Just pray. I will tell you, just pray and see what God, how God changes things. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. A sleepless night can be turned into a very comfortable night and sleep. Amen. Because you've offered this praise. You say, God, I know you know where I'm at. I trust you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. How many of you are glad that you know Jesus? Anybody here glad you know Jesus?
Amen.
Do you know that you were chosen by God, not just way before he even created the planet, he chose you. And that's kind of crazy to think. That's kind of one of those thoughts that can go, wow, man, that's really it. But God saw you, knew you, and chose you to hear the kingdom of God and to be saved by that hearing. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He chose you. He picked you. You're chosen. Is that right? How many of you like the chosen?
Woo!
Yeah, go ahead. There, you put that up there. You want the chosen. How many of you like being the, how many of you watch the movie The Chosen? How many of you remember this part right here? I can't sing to you the song. But while it's playing, the fish are turning around, going around. The blue fish are going one direction. The other ones are going the other way. That's the way the life is. That's the way when you get to know the Lord, you turn your life around, right? You repent. It's called a repent. And you go start going the opposite way of which way you were going. It's kind of a cool thing. I enjoy The Chosen. And today we're going to go this morning into the scriptures, and this was a really neat scene in the book, in that movie, The Chosen. But if you will, open your Bibles to, I believe it's Luke. Get my notes out. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Yeah. It's really neat in the movie when this happens. But we're going to read this and then we can talk about it a little bit. But it's when Peter, Simon Peter and his brother were called by the Lord. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us and strengthen us by your word, Father. Father, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by your spirit, Lord. Allow your spirit to speak to our spirits this morning, Lord. Let us receive something from you. Like the woman that was by Jesus, she said, Lord, just a crumb from you, Lord. Give us a morsel. But Lord, I want a big morsel. I want a big chunk of bread this morning, Father. Yes. I thank you for it and I praise you for it. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1, it says, it came to pass as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Yeah. That word draught is catch. It's for a catch. He told him, let down your net for a catch. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, amen. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught or the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Kind of a kind of a crazy choice, amen? Just one day they're fishermen, and the next day, because he said, "Follow me," man, they made this choice. Says, "Okay, I'm going to leave my ship, and I'm going to follow Jesus." Amen. And what a story! I like when Peter fell down on his knees, and because he recognized the glory of God in that miracle. Can you say amen? How many of you had a miracle before in your life? Anybody had a miracle? Just getting saved is a miracle. How many know that?
Yes.
It was a miracle just me getting saved. Even guys, "Hey, I gave my heart to the Lord." "You?" "Yeah, me." "No, you?" "Not you." "No, there ain't no way. God don't want you." Aren't you glad that God goes after the base things of this world? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's just because you got lots of money doesn't mean he's going to go after you. Is that right?
Right.
He goes after, the not so good. Amen. I remember being in a line with guys that want to play football. And there was one of the guys that I want to be on his team. There was two guys picking. I go, "I want to be on this guy's team." Never pick me. Never chosen. Amen. Then we say, always at the end, "All right, Henry, come on, you can be with us." I know some of you were sports. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I was a little clumsy out there in the field. Can you say amen? He said, "Pastor, you're clumsy now." Yeah. Yeah. Almost fell out of my chair this morning. Anybody see that? I got a bad habit of hooking my boots in that rail on that little bit of that chair. And I started leaning forward and I couldn't get my feet out. I could see service happening and me right on my face with a guitar. Yeah. How many ever been clumsy? Anybody here ever I mean, hopefully I'm not the only clumsy one in the house, man. Rosie goes, "Oh, yeah, you are." Yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
But you've been chosen by God.
Amen.
All the clumsiness, amen?
Amen?
All the little things going on in your life, you are chosen by him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Because he's chosen you for a reason. Is that right?
Amen.
How many of you know that you didn't choose him? Some of you think, "Well, I just finally, I finally found God." No, you never found. He found you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He found you. I could not get away from a guy named Bud Weiser. He had a hold of my life, and he thought he owned me. Amen? Mr. Bud. And I'll tell you what, I used to tell my wife, "I'm going to quit drinking." And I finally figured out that I couldn't. Does anybody know that? Because I was hooked. But you see, God had a plan for me that I didn't know about. Amen? If somebody would have told me the plan that he had for me back then while I was still walking with Bud, I would have said, "Hey, you know what? You're crazy." As a matter of fact, I was at the mine one day and a guy named Ray Huvet, I remember his name. I don't know where he's at to this day. And I would really like to talk to him because he's probably one of the first guys that I remember. He asked me, he says, "Do you know Jesus?" I said, "Of course I do." And he goes, "All right, brother." I said, "I'm a Catholic." I told him, "I know Jesus. I've been raised a Catholic, and I know everything about Jesus that I need to know." And he looked at me and he said, "Okay, yeah, cool." I wish I could see him now today, and I would tell him, "Ray, I thank you for asking me that question," because when another man who was a pastor of a church turned out to be my pastor, when he asked me if I knew Jesus, I told him, "I don't know if I do or not. But I do know this, sir. that I want to quit drinking. I've tried to quit drinking, and I know my wife will leave me because my mom. How many of you like moms? How many moms will tell you? They'll tell you like it is. Amen. My mom told me, Henry, I told Rosie to divorce you because no woman needs to live like she's living with a drunk. I go, are you kidding? You for me or against me? If God be for you, who can be? No, I didn't know any of that. All I knew was, hey, oh man, I knew that I had to change and I didn't know how and I couldn't. I had tried to quit. There was a friend of mine at the work, another friend. I got lots of friends at work. You know, I used to work at the mine, but he told me, Henry, I can. He was sitting out in the parking lot with a bunch of guys drinking beer. And he told me earlier that day, he goes, I can quit anytime I want. As a matter of fact, I've quit. I said, really? And I said, well, that's good. And then I saw him later on that afternoon out there drinking. And I told him, I'll tell you what, I thought you said you quit. He goes, I can quit anytime. I said, well, you told me you quit. You're drinking. So what's the story, bro? And he goes, well, I can quit anytime. He says, I quit for 2 weeks one time. I said, really? I said, man, you didn't quit. You paused. That's called the pause, bro. What, were you out of money or what? Did your wife not give you any money or what, man? But anyway, I didn't plan to be talking about drinking and all that stuff, but I know that when they asked me if I knew Jesus, I know that I needed something, and I didn't know what could take me out of this situation. So when I said, I don't know. So he said, would you like to receive him? I said, yeah, sure. Sounds good. See, I didn't know what he had for me. Well, this man prayed for me and I gave my heart to Jesus. And as soon as I did, man, something broke within me. There was a change that I wasn't expecting. And when usually I would leave the mine at 3:30, 4 o'clock and head, not home, but I would head to the Circle K that was right up the road here. And I would stop there and I'd buy 2 6-packs of beer every night and go home. And I'd drink those beers every night before I went to bed. That's the way I was. That's just who I was. Well, this day, when I left the mine, I beelined to the house, just went straight home. Walked in the door and I told Rosie, guess what? I quit drinking. She looked at me. She said, shut up. Shut up. I forgot that the night before I was banging on the door trying to get somebody to let me in. My mom let me in and told me that, hey, you need to. I told your wife to divorce you. Such an impact that God had on my life there at that time. I had a dream one evening, and in the dream, because I can tell you, I'm not trying to hide anything from anybody. Is that okay? Are you guys? I mean, you guys know that I should be able to say whatever, because I used to grow marijuana in my yard when it was illegal. Like it wasn't thought as a fun drug or anything. I used to grow it to sell it for money, and I had quite a few little plants back there. And my wife, her brothers, they tried the weed that I had. It's so weird. I don't know why I'm talking about all this stuff, but I know something, man. Somebody in the house might need something. They tried the weed, and they said, man, that's the best. We've never had any like that. And anyway, I was selling it to them. And then one day they brought these guys to my house. He drives up, and then there's these big old guys drive, get out of this big black sedan, got out of the car and walked in with him. And I told him, dude, as soon as I saw those guys, it almost made I didn't like the idea of them being there at my house. Didn't like the idea of them knowing where I lived. And when I told her brother, what'd you bring these guys here? He goes, oh, well, they want to buy everything you got. I said, dude, you should never. Never. So I did. I gave them, I sold them everything that I had. Everything that was drying, I went outside and pulled everything up out of the backyard and I gave it to those guys. And I told them when they left, I said, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. My brother-in-law, I don't get it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't. One of those guys was eyeing my wife. And I looked and I go, Rosie, get in the house, get inside. Because I didn't know these guys. So it kind of shook me up. I really think that was the Lord. I believe that was the Lord getting involved in my life. Can you say amen? Because after that time at the mine, I had a dream. And in this dream, I walked into this bar. And as I'm walking in the bar, I'm looking for my brother-in-law. I go to my brother-in-law. I start talking to him about Jesus. And the next thing I know, there's these two guys that come up to me, and I turn to look at them. It's those two big guys that were at my house, and they go, "Hey, we want some more stuff." And I looked at them and said, "I don't have any stuff anymore. This is my dream." You know how dreams are? They go kind of crazy every once in a while. I'm having a dream, and I said, "I don't have any more stuff anymore." And they kept walking, stepping towards me. Every time I said, "I don't have any more," they'd step a little further. I'd back up. Finally, I backed up to the wall. And I'm telling them, I said, "I don't have it anymore." Then all of a sudden, I go, it's like in the dream, I go, "But I do have something for you." And I pulled out this. I mean, you guys ever gotten those little tiny Bibles from the Gideon Bibles, the little tiny ones? I pulled that out of my pocket. And I said, "I do have something for you." And I opened it up. I said, "I've got the word of God for you." And their eyes went real big. One of them grabbed the pages and ripped it. And pages are flying. And I'm holding this Bible. All of a sudden, the Bible got about this big. And woof, the pages came back. And they looked at it. They ripped it again. Woof, pages kept coming back. There's pages flying all over. And I'm, no. Let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you about the Lord. They turned around and they ran out of the bar. This is a dream. I said, "All right." I said, "Well, hey, where are you going?" Because I really want to talk to them about the Lord. "Boy, you guys need Jesus. Amen. You guys got to have." So I go out the door, and this bar is situated on the top of a mountain. Isn't that weird? It's on a mountain. And I look, and it's bright. And I could see a lake way down there, and I could see those guys running. So I take off running after them, me and my torn up Bible that kept resurrecting itself. Can you say amen? Oh, there's a lot in this, guys, but I'm making it short for you. Anyway, I'm running down, chasing these guys. Hold on. And then all of a sudden, there's people passing me running faster than me. And they're running down towards that lake, and they've got fishing poles. And I started noticing all the fishing poles, and they got little bobbers, they call them bobbers on them. I'm not a fisherman, as you can tell. And these bobbers are bobbing or whatever, they're bobbing around, right? Yeah. They're running, I'm watching this, and I forgot about the guys I was chasing. And they're all going, we're going fishing. And I stopped and I look, well, I don't have a fishing pole. And when I said that, this is a dream, I looked and I was holding what looked to be a telephone pole. Isn't that weird? I go, "Oh my God." I looked up at that telephone pole and I'm holding it. And I woke up right there. Wow. When I woke up, the Lord said this to me, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." I go, You know in the movie how Peter said, how many have seen the movie? They keep telling him, Jesus told me, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And his friends tell him, "Hey, he's going to make you a fisher of men." He goes, "I don't even know what that means." He would say that in the movie. And that's the way I was. "I don't even know what that means, God. You're going to make me a fisher of men." Yeah. It is a radical change to go from a fisherman to following Jesus. Is that right? Just in a moment. Boom, he says, "Follow me." "Okay, I'm following you. Let me park my boat and I'm out of here and I'll follow you." It's a radical thing. Amen. When you're chosen by God, folks, how many of you've got to understand? We've got to understand that it is an enormous, listen, precious privilege to be chosen by. How many say amen to that? It is an enormous, precious privilege. I just want you to look, just go over this again. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. And when, I'm sorry, John 14, verse 6. There we go, getting close. 14, verse 6 says, and Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It says this, no man comes to the Father, but by me. Is that what Jesus said? I don't care what religion you're, I don't care what kind of religion is out there, anything, there's only one way to get to the Father. Can you say amen to that? How is that? Through Jesus. Only way.
Yeah.
You can be nice all day long to everybody.
Yeah.
Give your money away.
Yeah.
Do good deeds. Change the oil in their cars and whatever. But if you don't know Jesus, you ain't getting to the Father. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that? There's only one way. He says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I love it. See, I didn't get this. I didn't know this when I was a young boy. The next verse is John chapter 6, verse 44. It says this. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Yes.
Get that?
Amen.
I will raise him up to the last day. He says, no man can come to me. So you see, first Jesus says, no man can get to the Father but through me. But no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Can you see the teamwork in this thing?
Amen.
Can you see how God draws people? How does God draw people? That's my granddaughter one time. She drew a picture.
The Holy Spirit.
I draw. She's drawing people. No, it's a different kind of draw. How does he pull on people? He does it by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
I'm just laying down some foundations, folks, because sometimes we forget about the preciousness of the position that God has placed us in.
Amen.
Don't forget who you are. Can you say amen to that? Don't forget you belong to a kingdom.
Yes.
Don't ever forget that. Doesn't matter what happens to the nations around us or the nation you're in. It don't matter because you are in a kingdom. You belong to a kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And he operates a whole lot different than anything on this world. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says this. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. See, God saves people. He goes after them. He draws them to Jesus. Can you say amen to that? How does he draw them? I remember that I was being drawn, but I didn't know I was being drawn. How are you going to say amen to that?
Amen.
I was in Bisbee getting ready to go drinking with my buddies because I was a little drunk. I didn't have a car at the time. Even though when I got in my first car, I was 15. But at the time, I was going drinking with my friends. I called him up and he said, yeah, meet us down at the church by the road. There's a Church of Christ right on the corner of the road, just up the street from where I, down the street, if you will, from where I live. Bisbee's a lot of hills. So I walked down to the church, sat down on the wall. While I'm sitting on the wall, I hear music playing. And my dad was a musician. My dad, he was a mariachi and he played in bars. And I hear this music playing, and it sounded good. How many say amen?
Amen.
How many like good music?
Oh, yeah.
I mean good music. How many like hip-hop?
No.
Jazz?
Yeah.
I like it all. I even like rap. How many like rap?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't like rap. I'll tell you what. There's some rappers out there, man, that are brothers. And, man, I'll tell you, if you listen to that stuff, man, you get fired up. This is good. You know what rap is?
Fast talking to you.
It's rhythm and poetry. That's all that it stands for, rhythm and poetry. And that's cool. I like all kinds of music. I'm sitting on this block wall. I'm sitting out front there waiting for my buddies to come and pick me up. And I hear this music. I jump off the wall, and down the side of the church is an open door. So I'm going to go check this out. I'm going to go see who's playing in there. Because it sounded good. I went back there to that door. And I just started to look in. And next thing I know, beep, beep, beep. Henry, what are you doing? Come on. I go, folks, I know I was being drawn. If I would have walked into that door, those guys would have never saw me. I probably would have, who knows what would have happened that night. Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't another 10, maybe 12 years later where I got saved. Wow. See, but I was being drawn. Some might say you were being drawn by music, but I'll tell you what, God uses whatever he can. See, but what God draws people with is influence. He will influence your life in a certain time, certain point. He draws you with influence, and that influence is the Holy Ghost. Yes. For by grace you are saved. Peter calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of grace.
Yes.
It is grace that draws you into the kingdom, that pulls on you and brings you in. Yes. Hallelujah. I remember praying for my kids, Rebecca and Jonathan, when they were little. I remember praying over them because I found a scripture that says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And I said, Lord, I'm going to hold you to that scripture that my sons and my daughters will prophesy. And you know what? I didn't have to do a thing. I just had to believe God. And I watched God work these things out in the lives of my kids. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's not that I dragged them to church and everything, but I'll, even though we did drag them to church,
yeah.
We were youth pastors. Mm-hmm. My little girl was going to youth camp. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't have been there. But we had a guy named Mark McGrath said, man, you just bring her. Just bring them. It's okay. She'll get along. They'll love it. Did you get along? Did you? Well, I'll tell you, I believed God for those things. Amen. I believed God was going to touch my children. What I saw in the lives of both of them, I saw God influencing them. An influence by the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And certain times and certain things would happen to them. And the influence, God's Holy Spirit would influence them and draw them into the kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I never tried by myself to convince them. My son broke one of the house laws, okay? I bought him some handcuffs and I told him, you never take these to school. Don't take them to school. They were real. They had a key that you had to open them with. Well, Rosie calls me up. She goes, guess where I'm at? I said, I don't know where you're at. She goes, I'm at the fire department. So what are you doing at the fire department? Was there a fire? No fire. Your son handcuffed a boy to the bus. Really? He goes, yeah. She goes, and he don't know where the key is. Oh, boy, that little rat. I told him he broke I told him not to. How many ever, I know, anybody here ever told your kid not to do something, they do it? Yeah, probably. Oh, come on. No. Never. I told Rosie, when you get him to the house, take him to the restroom and shut the door and leave him there. That was my way of taking the kids in and letting them think about what they're going to do. Because I got home and I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell your kid? Not my kid anymore. Is he your kid? Because he had worked with me and told me, he says, anger. I never correct in anger is what God told me. Do you know that? Do you know that God doesn't have to correct in anger? Do you know that? So I waited and I was praying. I said, Lord, what are you going to tell me? He says, when you get in there, take the paddle and let him paddle you. I go, that ain't going to work. So I prayed a little longer and I went in and he goes, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, hey, sorry. And it's okay. I understand you're sorry now, but you didn't obey. You should have obeyed me. You should have never taken it. You caused a lot of problems, bus drivers and firemen. And, you know, it was 3 minutes. Take them off. Didn't take it very long, but still. Is that right? So I don't. And right there, what God had told me in prayer, it felt like the only thing to do. And I told him, you know what? I'm going to give you this paddle. Oh, I'm going to take your paddling for you. And I did over like this. And you know, Dad, he just started crying. No, Dad, I can't do it. No, I don't want to do it. I said, no, you need to swat me. Hit me hard because you disobeyed me. No, Dad, I can't do that yet. And so he finally, this might sound like child brutality, huh? But he finally hit me, whack, whack, whack. And he dropped the paddle and he grabbed me and he hugged me and he cried and cried and cried. And I said, son, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Years later, I was in California with Cesar and he and boys were playing music. Jonathan and his boys, they always played music and they were in the next room. And they stopped playing music for a minute. I go, I wonder what's going on. And I could hear Jonathan talking. And Jonathan was telling those guys, says, look, the day I realized what the gospel is all about was the day that I was supposed to get a paddling and my dad told me to paddle him. I realized that Jesus took my sins and paid the price for them. And when I heard that, I said, I couldn't have planned that better. How many say amen? God has a plan. Yep. And since that day, my son, I didn't seem to have any trouble. Roby might say that, but I don't remember having trouble with him after that day. It's because God knows what to do. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I will tell you, I don't know what to do, but God does. But I said this the other day, I do know what to do. This is getting real confusing for you, isn't it? But I do know what to do. Yeah. I know to seek him in prayer. That's what I know to do. Yeah. Go after him. Seek him. And the Bible says you will find him when you seek for him with your whole heart. Can you say amen to that? God knows when you got your whole heart in it. Yeah. He knows when it's whole heart. Look at your neighbor, say whole heart. Whole heart. Look at him and say, you got to go in whole heart, bro. Whole heart. Yeah, it's got to be whole heart or no heart. If you're not in there with your whole heart, forget it. Why are you in there in the first place? Can you say amen to that? I know this can be kind of mean. It might kind of sound, but I will tell you, God is in a, we are in a time where God said, look, I have things for you to do and you need to know about them. You need to hear me with your whole heart.
Amen.
Glory to God. He sent the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into these things. And he said, you're drawn by the Holy Spirit into Jesus. You see Jesus and Jesus, I'm going to take you to my Father. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus told his disciples, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. You see that? You see, folks, I want to tell you, you didn't choose him. He chose you. The reason you understand the gospel and the reason you, because he chose you. Do you understand that? You have been chosen. I have chosen you. And what else has he done? Ordained you. You are ordained. Come on, man. Is that what the word of God says? You are ordained by God to do whatever he has for you to do. Can you say amen to that? I've ordained you. You see, I've chosen you and I've ordained you. I put an ordainment on you. Hallelujah. Not by a religious system. Can you say amen? I have ordained you. What does it say? That you might go and bring forth what?
Fruit.
See, God wants to bring forth fruit in your life. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is not just, the fruit he's looking for that the world needs is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen? Temperance. All those things. That's the fruit that God wants to bring out of your life, because I will tell you, when that fruit is on you and it's happening, there's going to be people around you can be picking from your drink. Hey, man, how is it that you're so peaceful? Pang. And they're going to go after the fruit, because I tell you what, the fruit of the Spirit is very, very. It's better than gold and silver. Can I tell you that? It's very, very precious, and the world needs it. And when they see it, I will tell you, they will recognize it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That you might bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. How many of you like that promise? Whatever you ask in his name, he'll give it to you. But you see, sometimes we look at it just the way it is. But the Word of God tells us, see, the Holy Spirit will show you things. One of the things he can say that he's going to show you, that God will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know why he has to give you the desires of your heart? Because you died.
Amen.
When you gave your heart to Jesus, you died on a cross with him. He paid for all your transgressions. He paid for all your sins. You died. You were buried with him, but you were raised again with him. So the scriptures tell us that he will give us the desires of our heart. When you're in your prayer closet, and I'm going to talk to you like you're in your prayer closet every day. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Talk to us. Hey, come on. Somebody say, talk to us like I'm in my prayer closet every day. Talk to me like I spend time with God. Talk to me like I am in that place. I've been looking at Song of Solomon. How many like Song of Solomon? The book, yeah. I don't see a lot of hands up. How many like the Song of Solomon? Anybody? It's kind of sticky. Can you say amen? It's got all this love all over it, man. It's got all this these funny cat talking and it's all it to me. I try to read it, I go, this is kind of sticky, man. But I've been looking at it in a different way, and it's beginning to take some kind of light somehow in my life, in my heart. And I realize that when God says he wants you in a secret place, see, he wants to hide you. He wants to bring you into a place where he can talk to you, so he can show you what he has for you, so he can strengthen you and build you in that secret place. He wants to bring you, in Song of Solomon, he says, I want to bring you into the chamber, into my chamber. There's a word there, it says that they placed me, he says, they placed me over the vineyards, but I realized my vineyard I had neglected. Why does he say that? He says, I realized, because in his chamber, he begins to show you these things that he has for you. And all of a sudden, you begin to say, hey, I've done everything my way. And it's not my way that's important. It's your way, Lord. And the only way you're going to find that is be in that place. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, this is a little different. I'm going to tell you, where I am talking to you, because God is saying, I need my people in this secret place so that I might speak to them, so that I might encourage them. Can I tell you what's cool about the presence of God? I believe you get in the presence of God that because of his word over you, things that you don't even know about that are going within you, that are inside of you. Maybe there's a little growth here and a growth there, whatever. Stay in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. Because I believe in all my heart that in that presence, God begins to wash you and cleanse and do a deep, deep cleansing within you. Can you say amen to that? I don't know if you know what I get. I remember the first assembly, I was up there and I had a bad toothache. And I'm in the back because, you know, you just don't want to be up front when you got a toothache. How many say amen to that? And I'm in the back and pastor's calling for prayer. Come on up. You got something you need. Come on up and get prayed for. I'm in the back. I walk up towards the front of the platform. I sensed the presence of God as I walked in. Woof, it was gone. And he looked at me, Pastor, would you? I said, I had a toothache, but when I got up here, it's gone. It's been bothering me all the way through the service. Said, well, let's pray for you. They prayed for me. Praise God. Went out, went back to the back. Woof. Isn't that right, Rose? Oh, my God. What happened? Went up to the front. I believe God was showing me something. That in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Can you say amen to that? There is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory. I made up my mind. I said, God, I'm going to find your presence. My son got sick one time. Checked his temperature. He had a temperature. Looked in his throat. His throat was red. He was all lethargic. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Wasn't very active. Where he is an active kid. I said, Rosie, throw him in the car. Let's take him. We drove from Elephant Head all the way to, I mean, it was Alvernon and who knows? I don't know. All the way in Tucson. Took him in there. They looked at him. They said, well, he's got a fever. Okay. No, they said, well, his throat is kind of red. And so, okay. We were giving him Tylenol. Rosie and I were giving him Tylenol. They said, just give him some Tylenol and he'll be fine. I looked at Rose and I said, what? And then they said something else. Oh, by the way, it's $30. Yeah. Oh, yeah. $30. Boom. We got him all the way home. The whole trip, all the way back to the house, I was not a happy camper. I said, man, I'll tell you what. God's word says by his stripes we've been healed.
Yeah.
And I said, Jonathan, come here. We prayed over him, and within 5 minutes, he was up running around, doing everything, just like nothing had ever. See, God had showed me something. Are you going to trust me or not? Are you going to allow him to lead you and guide you? Are you going to come out of your closet and say, this is what God says? Amen. His stripes, I'm healed. Can you say amen to that?
Amen. Mm.
He chose you. 2 Peter 2:9 says this. I'm sorry. Terry, can you go to 1 Peter 2:9? So I'm sorry. It's funny because when you were bringing him up, I was thinking, did I give him 2 Peter? 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
A royal priesthood. How many know that? A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and marvelous light. A lot in this scripture. I love darkness and light. I love them both. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not everybody going to say amen to that. I love darkness and I love light. The reason is because the darkness is the things that I just don't know about God. But God will reveal them to me and then they become light. What he reveals to me concerning that, he'll show me his light. Do you understand that? The people were walked in great darkness, in gross darkness. Why? Because they didn't know the Lord. But when you know the Lord, everything starts to begin. God begins to reveal things to you and make it light to you. Is that right?
Yep.
So he called you out of darkness into his marvelous, glorious, precious light. He has understanding beyond what this world can even fathom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Huh. But it says here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. How many know what a priesthood is? Priests are people that would take the prayers of the people and take them up before God. That's in the Old Testament, all right? And they were basically... What did I put down? Priests. They were basically in Malachi. You're going to see that God calls that the priests should have a word from me in their mouth. They're basically messengers from God. Somebody that prophesies or preaches, like myself or Randy or Pastor John. We are We prophesy. We speak the words of God. Is that okay?
That's it.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Hey, I don't tell me anything about, I don't want to hear about I don't know, Disney's new ship, whatever, for the kids. I don't want to hear about that. Talk to me about the word of God. Speak the word of God to me. And that's what the Bible says, that the priests should be messengers for God. But he calls you a royal priesthood. Yes. That's a whole different story. You are a royal priesthood. Do you know what it means by to be a royal priesthood? I think I wrote the word down here. Royal. It means, look at your neighbor and say, Basilios. Basilios. Say that. That's a good word. Some of us, Basilios. Basilio. That's the word royal.
Oh.
Basilio.
Basilio.
Yeah. Sounds kind of weird, don't it? It does. Basilio. Almost sounds like a dirty word.
Yeah.
Andale, Basilio. I know. It sounds like Spanish. It does. Basilio. That word means, yeah, like a pizza. So that word means royal. You are a royal priesthood, not just any kind of, you are a royal priesthood. Huh. Basilio. It says, it means the word basilio, which is royal, translated out of the Greek. It means kingly, like a king. That's who you are. So you see, you're a kingly priesthood. Is that okay? How many say, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I like that.
Not because of you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because it's because you have believed in Jesus, who is the great high priest. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There ain't nobody like him. You talk about royalty. Jesus is royalty, and he dwells in you.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Priests bring people's needs and prayers to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Every one of us should be always continually in your closet bringing people's needs before the Lord. When you run out of needs, pray in the Spirit before the Lord. Let him pray. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Be in such a connection that there's this, oh yeah, oh yeah. And you begin to pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden you'll remember somebody and you'll bring out their name and you'll call out their issue. Renee, Lord God, touch your shoulder, God. Hallelujah, shalabo karanda sande. Hallelujah, and watch how your time in his presence begins to change you. We're busy folks. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We're busy folks. I was cleaning my neighbor's concrete yesterday underneath my truck. I'm busy. Hey, somebody call me. That's okay. I got no time right now. I'm holding up this piece of metal or whatever. I mean, hey, busy. We're busy folks. But folks, we need to be praying. We need prayer. People around us need prayer. That's what a priest does. He prays.
Yes.
The Bible says that Jesus makes intercession for us. When? How long?
Daily.
Ever. Forever making intercession for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But also within us is the King.
Yes.
Whew, come on. Hallelujah. What do kings do? They declare.
They declare.
Not like Mr. White, my next one. I declare, you guys are the worst kids. That's right. I do declare. He was from Texas. I declare. I said, what does that word mean? Declaration is something that a king does. Can you say amen to that? How many know what's not right needs to be spoken against? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Revelation. You remember when this is Revelation 5, but let's do Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Okay. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6 says, and from Jesus, John is saying, he's the beginning of his letter, and he's talking about, we grace and peace be unto you. And then he says, from us. And then he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Who is he? He's the prince of the kings. That's us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen?
Amen.
How many say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Folks, I'll tell you, don't ever forget these things. These things are important to you. And if you continue to think about them and know, hey, he washed me from my blood to give me the position he's placed me in. That's why I can speak to that. Is that right?
Amen.
Because I've been washed by the blood. Therefore, I can declare. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He washed us and made us kings and priests unto God, his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory and dominion forever and ever. He's made us what?
Kings and priests.
Kings and priests. And my question to you today is, are you operating in your life today on this earth as a king and as a priest? Because I said, God is saying, it's time. It's time. Hallelujah. And you remember in Revelation chapter 5 where John is in heaven and he hears and he goes, I heard a voice, a strong angel stood and cried and said, who is worthy to open the book and release these seals? There were seals on a book that were in heaven. John saw the book, and then he heard a strong angel crying, and he says, who is worthy to open this book and release the seals? Can I tell you something? Jesus is the only revelator. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus reveals by his spirit the word of God. The seals that are on the book, because not everybody can understand these things. Can you say? You've got to be a child of God. You've got to be born again. And God opens these seals or these things to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And he goes, the angel is crying, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open this book? And the Bible says that nobody would answer.
Yes.
And then he said he began to weep. And then an elder that was there by him, he goes, hey, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the offspring of David, he has prevailed to open the book. And John says, and I saw as it were a lamb that was slain. And he took the book and he opened the book. Oh, God. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I sense this thing. I see that God is saying some things to us. Revelation 5, 9, and 10, it says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take that book. Take the book to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. See, that's just not all Jewish. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Anybody, whosoever believes in him, amen, has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall, what does it say?
Reign.
We shall reign. See, part of your position is a king and a priest in order for you to reign. But you don't reign just by anything that comes along and you say, well, I don't like that, so I'm going to bind that in the name of Jesus. I don't like that. So you have to, by the Spirit of God, do what he tells you to do. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't be just a filly lily. I mean, because otherwise, you're going to begin to look silly. Can I say amen to that? Can you say amen? Because you're just doing anything and everything when you're not being led by the Lord. But when you're being led by the Lord, things are going to happen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because God has a plan and a purpose. And when you hear that in your prayer closet, you're going to find that everything that he asks you to do, it is most glorious.
Hallelujah.
Outcomes are most glorious.
Mm.
The glory of God will be seen in the earth like it's never been never seen before, because you now are being led by the Spirit and things are now beginning to click. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And guess what? If everybody does that, what will happen? It will change a city.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Desolate places will begin to change. Folks, this was a desolate place in our city. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
This bowling alley was desolate. Didn't know anything about Jesus, but yet was designed and purposed, I believe, by God to be a house for his people. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Glory to God. You see, the things of God, amen, the priests and the kings speak to them. I will say this, folks, and you're going to look at me, you're going to say, wait, but sounds very, even though I've got one eye that doesn't work really well. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I see all of you. This house looks full to me because there's twice as many people. Yeah. I see a lot of folk in this house. If I close my eyes, it gets a little depressing. No, I'm just kidding. I must say this to you. Listen, in his presence, we begin to hear things that we haven't heard before. We begin to see things that we haven't seen before. In that time that you spend in his presence, I believe it affects the whole world. Not just you, not just this church, but the whole world. That affects the city because you've been spending time in the presence of God. Do you understand that? Does that sound cool? Because
yes,
you have been spending time in his presence. It's affecting this city we walk in. Because you walk down to the end of your block praying in tongues, walk to the other end of the block praying in tongues. Well, maybe you only live on the end. Well, wherever you, because you walk, just walk your block. Say, God, I'm just going to pray over this part. How's that, God? He'll love it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He'll love it. Folks, we have been too comfortable about doing nothing. And God is saying, it's time. Get into your prayer closet. Walk and pray. Walk and pray. And watch what he begins to do. Can you say amen? He will turn a desolate city into what? A Garden of Eden. A Garden of Eden. Can you picture that? Can you picture this city we live in? It's hard to picture, isn't it? Ah, there's too many sinners here. Well, guess what? Guess what?
Amen.
Let God arise and let the enemies be scattered.
Amen.
Come on, man. Come on.
Hallelujah.
We've spent too much time, folks. We've wasted a lot of time. Get into your closet. Can you say amen? Will you stand? I want to pray over you just real quick, and then we're going to go. How many of you want to go? Ready to go? My neighbor's got a dog. Rosie, what's the name of the dog? No. Oscar, what's the name of that little dog? Oscar's dog.
Oh, Remy.
Remy and the other one? One dog loves to jump in his Jeep and ride with him everywhere he goes.
Amen.
The other dog, he says, I ain't going, I'm staying home. You guys go ahead. But when he's ready to go, when he's at my house and Oscar's ready to go, he tells that dog, ready to go? Ready to go? And that dog, man, joyfully, boom, boom, jumps up in that little scooter, it's got a back seat in it, goes to the back seat and sits down. It's the coolest thing. It's a really neat thing to watch. I said, man, I love your dog. He's really cool, man. How many of you are ready to go? How many of you are ready to go? Can I just say something to you? Not everybody's ready to go. Folks, we need to take it serious when God says, I've called to you. But you won't listen. I've gotten up early to meet with you, but you won't listen. Folks, we need to go after God with all our hearts. Can you say amen? And then we're going to see things. We're going to see things change. How many of you are ready for change?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And some of you don't like change, but I know it's good for us. Can you say amen to that? Yes. I'm ready, folks. I'm ready to take this part of the service into that part back there and have them full. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I'm ready for change. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me pray over you because I know that God wants me to say a few things. Because in declaring, I'm going to declare over you. Pastor John, just stand up here and raise your hands towards these people. We're just going to declare over you. You see, it really is. And I started out to say that I got carried away with my eye. But let me just say this. I started to say this. We have been healed.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus. Our bodies are whole and complete according to the word of God. The word of God says, it even says, you're lacking nothing.
Hallelujah.
The word of God said, does not say, unless you're 80 years old, or unless you're 55 and over. It doesn't do that in the word of God.
No.
It just says, by his stripes you've been healed.
Hallelujah.
It is a thing that we do. Can you put up the power verse? This is Acts 20, verse 27. It says, I have not shunned or I have not hesitated to declare to you the
counsel
of God. I am counseling you this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm counseling you this morning.
Yes.
That when something's happening in your life, go to the Lord.
Yeah.
And then what you hear in there, speak to it. Sickness and disease, folks, has already been taken care of.
Amen.
We need to speak to it. We need to declare like a king.
Thank you.
The provision that God has given us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
By his stripes, Lord, I'm healed.
Yes.
I don't care what you say, I'm talking about myself. I don't care what you say, by his stripes,
I am
healed.
Yes.
Complete. So I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to declare things over you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word says, Father God, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Father, that you said that all our provisions are met in you. We are in your kingdom, Father. So every need, everything that appears to be a need is not a lack. It is an understanding of provision that you have called for in our lives.
Yes.
So every need, whether it be a job like Aaron.
Yes.
Or an achy foot. Every need, Father,
yes,
has been provided by you in this kingdom that we stand.
Hallelujah.
We are not lacking, Father. We thank you for that. There is no lack in your kingdom, Father. There is nothing that will come against us that will hurt us, Father, because we are in your kingdom. It is your will. It is what you desire that will be done in our lives. And that's it. That's all. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Father, I pray that the joy of the Lord, that your joy would overtake your people. Because in your joy, Father, there's fullness of strength and there is great work to be done by your people. And God, if there's anything we need, we need strength. So Lord, let the joy of the Lord overtake your people. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you for coming to church this morning. We love you guys. You need to pray. You need somebody to pray with.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.